Sounds good.
Hey, welcome to Eye on the Illini. You heard Brad Sturdy there. We've got Kedrick Prince. We are talking the post-game breakdown of the Minnesota victory, where the Illini won their second highly improbable victory on the road over a team that was ranked in the top 20. So, unbelievably, Illinois is still 4-6. They need to win two games to qualify for a bowl, including a third highly improbable road victory over a top 20 team. That would be Iowa. And that's just where we are right now. Brad, thoughts on this exciting – well, not, exciting is not the right word for it, but this game that kept you right on the edge of, you know, KO pectate.
I would say Illinois, the defense, Ryan Walters, fantastic job. I just thought they did a great job controlling the line of scrimmage and also putting Minnesota in deficit play, making them be a throwing team, and did a great job with pass. Their pressure from the front four and the blitz packages, just – what a great game for him. Just a great game plan. Held him to 6 points to score, you know, late, and then they missed the extra point even. So that was great. The other observation I have is that Illinois ended the streak by scoring in the first quarter, a touchdown in the first quarter, but they have a new streak going right now. They now have not scored in the second half in two consecutive games. So that's a streak to watch for the future. I'm not sure they're trying to score sometimes in the second half after they get a lead. But, and then the last thing I'll say is, at the end of the day, you know, you say at Iowa's not going to be a realistic win, and I don't know if it is or not. It wouldn't shock me with this team. They beat Iowa and lose to Northwestern. I mean, yeah. But because let's be honest, the disappointing for me right now is this team is like, they could be 8-2. I mean, just a couple decisions, couple plays, a tackle, a penalty, they could have won every game except for two. I mean, so that's a good thing for the future. It's also maybe a bad thing for this year. You think they gave away a few, but it also tells you that if you can compete right now with this roster, you get a talented roster, maybe you can do some things.
Well, and what scares me is a couple things, I guess. First off, for those people, and there are a very concentrated group of Illinois fans who just don't like Bielma ball, and it is not aesthetically pleasing, so I'm not arguing that. But he is proving with lesser talent that you can do quite a few you can cause quite a few problems with this style of play, as paint drying boring it can be at times. The other thing that I thought was kind of interesting was in the second quarter, you know, Illinois had the ball three times before, and you know, that I consider real drives. They started with the ball in the 22, the 9, and the 10. And it seemed like with a 14-0 lead and bad field position that they decided we're going to, you know, really draw in our claws, and we're going to be like a turtle and kind of hide in the shell for the rest of the game. And I just wonder if we had got the ball a couple times in a little bit better field position, maybe they had would have kept the foot on the accelerator a little bit. I don't know. Kedrick, what were your thoughts of the game?
Well, as Brad mentioned, this probably could be the best 8-2 team or worst 8-2 team in the country. It's hard to figure out. I mean, it is. And I mean, it is. I mean, listen, it's boring. It is extremely boring to watch. Anybody who can sit here and tell us that this is entertaining and fun, you're lying to us and to yourself. And the thing is, I don't know, you know, we've talked about this on many shows. Is it really a talent issue? Because here's why. You know, Ryan Walters has this defense playing great. And I think personally, he should be talked about nationally. I mean, look at how many points they've given up in the last six, seven games. He has done a tremendous job with, according to us, less talent. So I just wish, I'm not going to sit here today and harp on the offensive coordinator. I'm not going to do that. But gosh darn it, give yourself a chance. I mean, you can run to be a running football team, but not so predictable. Give the team a chance. Everybody watching the game who was at the game, you know, calling the game, you knew it was going to be a run play. if you get a first down or get put yourself a chance to get a field goal, this game's over. And you don't have to be sitting here like today hoping you got to go to Iowa to win Iowa. That's going to be a tough game. But, again, not, you know, being a homer to Brad Sturdy here, they'll probably beat Iowa and lose Northwestern. He's probably right because I have no hair left, not even any that I can even remotely pull out. And it's frustrating because, truthfully, this team – lost a lot of games that they really should have won with these. I mean, they really should have. That's my rant. You never apologize for a win. You take the win. But if they don't get to a bowl game this year, and I'm not saying they deserve to go, but it's going to be extremely depressing because they have let a lot of games slip away.
Well, you've got six games that were decided by a touchdown and a two-point conversion or less. And Illinois has went 3-3 in those games. And you certainly, you just think, you know, you beat Nebraska, you beat Penn State and Minnesota, both on the road. And then somehow you manage to lose to UTSA. You also lose to Maryland and you lose to Purdue. And again, the Maryland game, you know, you look at, I'm sorry, and the other one was Rutgers. So there's a seventh game there. And you look at the Maryland and the Rutgers and you're like, man, what could this be?
Yeah, I think Maryland, Purdue, Rutgers are all games that and UTSA for that matter. I mean, they had a chance to win UTSA too.
Yep.
But the one thing, the only place I will say this, I feel like there's some good young players on the defense. Maybe it's coaching, maybe it's talent. We can go. I don't feel the same way about the quarterback position and the wide receiver position. I feel like those are where they don't have a great deal of talent. They don't have guys. I mean, you know, and I know it's different, but you watch the guys at Ohio State running on their patterns, their wide receivers. It's ridiculous how open those guys get. I mean, Brandon Peters would look good at Ohio State with those receivers. Well, maybe. I think he would.
Nope. But, nope. Don't do it. Don't
do it. Sorry. So, but you know, you get my – you know what I'm saying, though. Yeah, I mean, it does make a huge difference. And the other thing is, like – I just feel like you have to have a quarterback, I think, and it's got to be – I'm not saying you have to have a quarterback who's like, you know, you don't have to have a Michael Vick or Russell Wilson or somebody. I mean, you don't have to have a great quarterback, college quarterback, but you got to have a good college quarterback and to win. You're winning it, and they don't have one. Here's my thing I tweeted. Illinois, in their last five Big Ten games, they've scored 47 points during regulation, not counting the overtime and two-point conversion stuff against Penn State. Today, North Carolina and Wake Forest is 58-55. So they both outscored Illinois over a five-game stretch today. So that tells you where the offense is. And that's really kind of astonishing. You're 4-6 with that level of putrid offense.
I mean, you know, could you imagine if they were just average? And you're exactly right. I don't think fans are asking them to put up 45, 50 points a game. But there's no way in the world – at the Division I level, at the Big Ten level, you can't score 30 points. I don't know. I mean, I can't remember. I don't have the stats in front of me. Have they scored 30 points to 35 points this year at all?
They have scored 30 points twice against Nebraska and UTSA. And we did not know that we should have rationed those points because we would need every single one of them. So I guess we should have been pushing for, you know, to beat Nebraska 23-22, and we could have saved that touchdown and gotten at least one more victory down the stretch here.
It would have been nice. Just, I mean, you know, a lot of people harped on this group of seniors, and it would be nice just from a recruiting standpoint, because they're going to get players. They're going to get players in the transfer portal. If you are a quarterback and you're going to be in the transfer portal, and you look at what Illinois needs. If you're a receiver who's on a two-deep roster, maybe not getting enough minutes, you're going to walk into a great situation and play, because I'll tell you what, this defense is amazing. That's all they're missing. And if they could sustain and do what Wisconsin and do what Iowa does, the Wild Wild West is going to be entertaining for years to come, because Minnesota's not going anywhere, and those other few teams, you know, I'm sure Nebraska's probably going to be looking for a new coach real soon, but the West is going to be a good conference.
Good. I don't think it'll be great, but it'll be good. But I also feel like, you know, Bielma is probably better than Crist, and Ferentz is getting old, And I'm sorry, I just have a hard time with PJ, so I'm biased. I just don't think he's that great of a coach. So obviously I'm the wrong one there, but I feel like Bielma's going to be in good position in the West. And I also think if you're a kid that you watch the two nationally broadcast Illini games, you know, Penn State and Minnesota, you got to be thinking, man, I can go there, and especially quarterback, wide receiver, I can go there and play right away. And if you look at that defense, you say that defense is solid, but there's plenty of openings for good players. And look what they do, you know. You know, I can see where a good player on defense might say that this is a great place to go to. So I got to think that Coach B is going to be hitting that portal hard, you know.
I think they have some guys in mind already that we probably just don't know about, which is good because that's what good coaches do.
Yep. And if I would have told you, Brad, that today Illinois was going to put up 14 points in the first quarter on the road against Minnesota and then somehow make those 14 points enough to win, how would you have taken that?
I would have probably told you you're insane. And to be honest, that's basically, if you think back, they've done this before. Like, I mean, this is every game where it's like, we're going to find, and it came down to, today was like three or four possessions and Minnesota can move the ball. But in those other games, it's been like, we got to get one stop to win the game, or we got to get one first down. And they couldn't do it. You know, today you saw it was 14-6. They get the ball back and they were able to get three first downs. How huge was, I mean, they were able to get those first downs that they needed to get. Kudos to, how about Chase Brown? Is Chase Brown an all Big Ten back? I think so. How about the job that kid has done running the football?
He is fantastic. Tough, run through holes. And I mean, he doesn't stop at the point of contact. He's just a tough, tough guy. I mean, it's too bad because, you know, Michigan State has a stud up there, but Chase has just been amazing. I mean, and you know what? Let's give credit today, too, to the offensive line today. They opened up a lot of holes against a good defensive front from Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota giving up 93 yards rushing a game coming into this game, and Illinois ran the ball very, very well. 180 yards rushing or something like that?
Yes, ran down their throats. I mean, that's Big Ten football, a Bielema ball, as Mike called it.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I thought was interesting about Chase is, you know, he had 32 carries, 153 yards, and literally every time he got the ball, everybody knew that he was going to get the ball. I mean, there's no if, ands, or buts. And I thought that was really interesting. The other thing is I look at a one play that I really was frustrated by was the late hit personal foul by Barker.
Yes.
Now, you know, you wonder what could have happened without that lack of discipline, you know, because you take that 15-yard penalty and you move that, and it was after the play, and so you move the ball back on an offense that can't afford to lose 5 yards.
And you lose a down. Yeah. And you lose a down there.
Yep. Yep. And so
because after the play.
Yes, exactly. And so to me, I look at that one play and I wonder, you know, with a little bit more self-discipline, could they have taken the ball down, at least got a field goal, made the end of the game maybe a little less stressful. The other thing that I looked at is when Minnesota had the ball down there on the 3-yard line and you forced them, even with a penalty, you forced them to take over a minute to score and they have to do it on fourth down. I really admired the pressure that the defense put on Minnesota, and that gap in time really changed the game for later on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought that was huge. I think, you know, and let's be honest, Minnesota was 6-2. They're ranked 20th. Did you think they were coming into this season? Do you think they were the 20th best team in the country with all their injuries? I mean, I didn't.
Nope.
You know, but so again, it's good. I mean, when Illinois beat Penn State, it's a good win too. But I didn't think Penn State was the seventh best team in the country either. Probably. So I think that, you know, there doesn't mean it's not a good win. It's a good win on the road. Against a team you need to beat if you want to win your division in the Big Ten. So that's really important. But at the same time, I think, you know, I think Minnesota was a bit overrated too. I mean, I think they're a little bit on a pedestal just because of their record. But I just really like what Illinois is doing defensively, though. Man, I can't say enough about the pressure they're getting from the front side, the blitz packages they're running, and the secondary is getting better.
Yes.
Remember earlier in the year when we'd like be out here, oh, they're just letting them catch 7-yard passes. They're just letting them do this. Well, now they're actually making plays.
Yeah.
Especially so, Adams.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree. So let's wrap up, Brad and Ked, with your guys' thoughts and let you get on with your afternoon. And then we'll call in Matt Stevens, who's actually sitting there live in Minneapolis. But Brad, what are your wrap up thoughts here?
I mean, it's a game, Illinois. You know, we talked about it. Illinois, these games, they have a chance to win because, you know, these teams are flawed. But Illinois got the job done. And that's what it comes down to. And it's not the prettiest football, but winning football is still winning football. And you'll take the win right now, especially in your first year as a coach.
Yeah, winning ugly is still winning. Ted, what are your thoughts?
Well, like I said earlier, you never, ever apologize for a win. It was ugly. And they got 4 wins on the season. Next week should be fun, especially where I live in the Quad Cities, you know, with the Iowa-Illinois rivalry. I think that'll be great. I think there's a possible chance that Illinois could beat Iowa. Is it a great chance? No. I'm kind of curious to see what the spread will be. But the way the defense is playing and they're not giving up a lot of points, and if they can muster, of, you know, 20, 24 points, I like their chances. And then after that, you know, it's the home game against Northwestern. It's just nice to see them compete, and you can see the future long term. I mean, this has been ugly, but they've given themselves a chance to win, and if they can win 6 games this year, that'd be truly amazing.
Great, great. Well, Brad and Ked, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And, of course, we've got, for those folks who are thinking about this, we are going to have – there's going to be Sturdy for 30 coming out next week. So you want to tune in. And if you haven't heard his latest, go out there, because the St. Rita coach is talking about a bunch of very talented players that he has on his roster. It's well worth listening to. And, of course, we will be covering the Illini opener against Jackson State on Tuesday. And so we're all looking forward to that. Thanks, Brad and Ked. Thanks for everything that's happening on your end. We appreciate everything. And, of course, your recruiting roundup came out last week as well. So please go to IlliniGuys.com. You can get the latest stuff right there. And if you subscribe, then you get all the stuff that Ked and Brad talk about from a recruiting standpoint that are back on our message boards and our forums that you can't get anywhere else. So you'll want to do that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
So Matt, you're up there in Minnesota, and you got a chance to enjoy one of the warmest games that I think Minnesota has seen in November. Give us your thoughts on what happened this afternoon and what you're thinking maybe we should be taking away from that.
It's a balmy 51 degrees here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Mr. Cagley. Here's the deal. I heard Sturdy and Ked talk about how this win was ugly. I think Brett Bielema thought the victory formation looked sexy as hell. And that's really all it really comes down to for me. I've come to the conclusion that this team's going to want to run the football, and they did it 33 times with Chase Brown today, which I never thought he could do in his Illinois career. I never thought he would be a 25, 30 carry guy. Sure enough, he's a 25, 30 carry guy. And I just think Illinois did exactly what they wanted to do on both sides of the ball from a physicality standpoint, and then hung on to the idea that I think their defense could carry this one home. And I think they got stuck in a second quarter where they just got pinned and didn't really want to turn the ball over and create a momentum deal here. Because for this being a pretty sporadic crowd today at Minnesota, which I was kind of surprised by, it was near the student section, and it was full in both levels, and they tend to get after it. So I think they avoided the major malfunction that would have derailed, you know, the momentum that they had built up in the 14-0 lead. And you're just seeing steps, step by step, of Illinois just continuing to get a little bit better and a little bit better at certain things. And like, for instance, how to start a football game. And they scored 7 points on the opening drive. And that hadn't happened in a while. And they got some turnovers today. And I mean, Tanner Morgan is just completely out of sync. And I don't think it's just because Tanner Morgan's seeing ghosts. I think it's because he thinks he saw 14, 15 Illini line up on every play, and it's because there was somebody in his grill every time he wanted to step back and throw. I would make the argument, and I think people are going to go, Jesus, Stevens, what the hell are you smoking up there in Minneapolis? But I think Illinois got the better quarterback play today.
Yeah,
and I don't agree. Know if there's a I don't know if there's a game that I have honestly felt that about, you know, coming out even after Illinois wins. Illinois got better quarterback play today, and they got a better pass rush today, and against an offensive line that was lauded as this big, massive physical deal that was just going to roll over Illinois. I felt like Illinois won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I'll give you a stat is that, you know, Minnesota comes in today having only given up 9 sacks in 8 games. Illinois got 6 today. Okay. Now that means to me, I'm going to love this. I'll give you a hint. This is my film review coming out of this game. How many times did Illinois have those sacks on third down? And you know how you get those sacks on third down? You win first and second down too. And so from that standpoint, I think from a physicality standpoint, Illinois deserved to win this football game. And from an execution standpoint, they hung on. This offense hung on long enough that relied on its defense. Just keeps getting better and better every day. And I'm here to tell you, I don't think this is a mystery either. Man, I keep looking over the Big Ten. I think Illinois has got the best defensive coordinator in the Big Ten, and I think they have the best defensive staff in the Big Ten. And I don't know what that means for 2021, but if everybody stays together, I think it could mean big things for 2022 and 2023. And I think that's what Bielema was banking on right now is wins like this help in recruiting, but it also builds a chemistry among my staff that says – defensively, you know, we're gonna get after you every week. And I'm here to tell you, the number one team in the country isn't the best offense in the country, but they darn sure can be the best defense in the country, and that's Georgia. I'm not saying Illinois is nearly at that level and nearly has that many first round picks on the field, but they execute as a higher level than anybody else in the Big Ten when they're on, and I think they proved that today.
Well, and I just keep thinking back to, you know, the second quarter, Illinois got the ball in some tough field position, particularly starting two drives back to back on the 9 and 10 yard line. They obviously don't have the confidence to pass their way out of that. And it's almost like a golfer who, you know, gets a couple bad swings and then they can't get their swing right again. You just wonder, with a little bit better field position, would Tony Petersen, you know, would he have kept maybe the same type of play calling going? And then once he got into that, we're going to run no matter what the situation, seemed like we were stuck in that. I don't know.
I feel like they were really worried about, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I think the play calling was, first of all, I think coming out of the second half, they got past midfield and then they play called their way into a punt. And right, that was disappointing to me, because if you make this 21-0 right then and there, the ball game's over. I'm sorry, but like Tanner Morgan was seeing ghosts out there all day, and he was not going to bring you back from 3 scores down. You plunge it in there. I was disappointed in that, but I thought they could recover from that because they had flipped the field at the very least. I thought they got conservative because they just didn't want a turnover to like completely have this stadium turn on a dime. And now you're suddenly only 2 scores ahead and the Maryland thing comes back in your head and you're going, oh, good Lord. Like, you know, I just feel like we talk about complementary football a lot. And I think that if they had more weapons that they trust in the pass game on the perimeter, they would be more aggressive. But right now, I think they know where their bread's buttered. And they're going to try to win football games that way. That does not mean in 2022 they're going to be that way. But right now they're setting a tone for what they want to be under Brett Bielema. And right now that includes winning the line of scrimmage. I have to tell you guys, like, I understand that Illini fans have gone through generations of Jack Trudeau, Tony East, and Jeff George, even Jason Verduzco and Kirk Kittner and Nathan Shielhouse. And they understand and appreciate the pass game for what it is. Coach Bielema has figured out that Big Ten games, especially in November, even if it's in a balmy 50 degrees here in Minneapolis, it gets won in those, you know, 2 yards between the, you know, in between the line of scrimmage. And who's going to win that area of territory usually dictates who's going to win a football game. Go watch Ohio State and see how many guys that they blow off the line and make their running backs' lives a hell of a lot easier and make whoever's throwing 400 yards at quarterback makes his life a hell of a lot easier. That's where these games are won. That's where they're recruiting toward, and that's where they know their bread is buttered. I think they can get a lot more aggressive than they have been. I get disappointed in Tony because he tends to play call his way sometimes into punts, and I think he gets frustrated by that himself. But I just feel like there's an idea here that Illinois is going to win football games 3, 4, 5 years down the line with Brett Bielema, you know, doing what they did today, and then the complimentary football is going to come in the throw game. But right now, the complimentary football right now is don't put your defense in a really bad spot, because they're propping you up every single week. And I think that's kind of where this is headed.
Okay. And we've got Brad Sturdy has connected back onto the call again. So obviously he's listening, and there's a couple points that he wants to make. Brad?
I just want to ask Matt a question. Obviously you just got done, you know, chatting sure. with Brett. I thought there was a couple plays. I agree with you on the end of the first half. I thought on the were you surprised that they didn't try and move the chains just enough to get a field goal attempt to make it a 3-possession game on the one play? It was 3rd and 17. And instead of just maybe it's a 5-yard pass just to get them where they have a chance to make that a 3-possession game. Because then, as you said, I think the game's over at that point.
I would have the funny part about it, Brad, is that I would have loved the draw call that they did later in the game. I think it was on like a 3rd and 24 or whatever. I'd have loved that. Now, that's still a run. But I think that I think that Minnesota opened up the middle for that. I didn't love. I mean, it's creative as all hell. Like, but I didn't love the reverse pass with Caleb Griffith. I don't know what that's about. That had no chance of working because everybody just went and covered number one. Yeah. and Caleb doesn't have. Caleb's a hell of an athlete, but he doesn't have the ability to go make somebody miss on a reverse run like that. So I don't know what that was about. And then that's what I'm saying. Like, they play called their way under that drive into a punt. And I don't understand what that was about. Other than, I pointed it out in the game room, Brad. Okay. If you're going into the game plan, Caleb Griffin's never thrown a pass his entire life as a college athlete. So if you're looking at it from Minnesota's standpoint, everybody in the secondary goes, well, number five can't throw. And then they go, oh, crap. Yeah, he can. Like, and that was, I think that was what Tony was trying to accomplish. But, boy, that's a gamble right there. Same thing as what I said before, Sturdy. I feel like if they had made it 17-0, this game's over. Flat out over. There was nothing that Minnesota was going to do from a comeback standpoint with Tanner Morgan back there that made you scared at all. And so – yeah, I do think Tony wanted to get aggressive coming out of halftime and wanted to get points on the board again early, just so he could have the Ryan Walters and the boys on defense pin their ears back and just come after number 12 or number two all the time, whoever was that quarterback, all day long. But I also understand the idea, Sturdy, of, well, we can't get, you know, too cute out here, because if we turn it over, boy, we're just not doing our defense any kind of service whatsoever. So I get the mentality both ways, but yeah, this was a game where I felt like they might've tried to use the 14-0 lead to maybe get a little bit more aggressive. But the back end of that is it could easily be 14-7 just like that. And now you're screwing over your defense. It's just played their butt off for 60 minutes.
I almost feel like they have like one reverse or reverse pass a game that they do just so they can see, we call cool stuff too. You know, I swear to God.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, Mike, but for all the people that are frustrated with Tony Peterson, and I get it, he did something that Illinois fans have been asking for since like the opening week, which is let's throw Isaiah in the Wildcat and see what we can do there.
Yep. Well, I agree.
And that's coming out of the bye week and going, hey, how do we get number one the football when we're not throwing the ball all that well? So that means how do we get him the football and how do we keep him engaged in a football game? And so I thought that was really smart, and it really kept Minnesota on its toes. And if you notice, like, whether it was Chase or whether it was I think it was Jakari that was getting a touch or two off of that, or if it was Isaiah just doing the dive, they had to bring two safeties back because they know that Isaiah can throw the football physically. Right. Like, he can do it, not accurately, but he can do it. But like, you can't just load the box with 10 when Isaiah is back at quarterback. Now you can do it with you know, I don't know, Caleb Griffin back there. If you want to do that, or if you want to hike the ball to Chase Brown, you probably know that they're not going to throw it. But you don't 100% know that Illinois is not going to throw it if Isaiah's back there. And so I thought it – and what it also does, guys, is that it allows Brandon Peters to go to the sideline and have Brett Bielema sit there and talk to him, put his arm around him and go, okay, when this play is over, this is what I want you to do and this is what I want you to look for. Dan Mullen used to talk to me about that all the time when he would do that with the Wildcat stuff. He would bring the quarterback over and say, okay, when it's second down or it's third down, this is what we're going to do and this is what you need to look for and this is what you're going to – where your eyes need to be. I think there's some benefit there. I also want to point out that not only do I think Illinois had the best quarterback on the field, Illinois had the toughest quarterback on the field today. And for all the disconcernation about Brandon Peters, and I get it, I understand it. I'll just quote Chase Brown. He's a tough son of a gun. Like, and I mean, he's already had a concussion on this football field, and I was dead scared that he got another one on that last drive. And then he comes back in, and for the other 10 guys on the field to see Brandon Peters come back in after taking a shot like that and to have his roommate Doug Kramer see him come back in like that, that was huge for this team. And I think that Brandon continues to understand after that bye week against Wisconsin, I don't have that many more opportunities and I got to make the most of them. And so far against Rutgers and against Minnesota, he's been pretty proficient in what they've asked him to do.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the one thing that this Illini team did that you won't see much, but I'm going to read you a list of how their last nine possessions ended. So it was, and of course, their first two possessions ended in touchdown, touchdown.
Sure.
And then they ended in punt, 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 half.
Mm-hmm.
Punt, 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 victory formation.
Right.
So you're, at IlliniGuys.com, we have a what we call a game room where you can go in there and a bunch of members are in there along with Matt and various Illini guys personnel. And we argue because that's what people, sports fans, do during a game. And people are just arguing all the time about, you know, oh, I hate this or I hate that. And in the end, Illinois won it 14-6. And despite all the punt, punt, punts that I read off, the final thing was in the partially erotic victory formation that Coach Bielema loves to see. So it is really hard to say, you know, when you see this team that has some glaring talent deficiencies, largely as a thanks to the recruiting mishaps of the prior regime from a coaching standpoint, when you see this team going 4-6 as an opportunity, you know, where you could realistically say they could theoretically be 8-2 this year, you wonder what this system that may not be as aesthetically pleasing as one might want. you can see the potential of this system. And then the other thing that I think that Coach Bielema is probably very aware of is I think he does understand the limitations of his quarterbacks and wide receivers. And part of the reason why it is so mind-numbingly tilted towards running the football is that the risk management side of him as a coach has decided that with the wide receivers who can't get separation and maybe not the greatest quarterbacks in the world, we're not going to pass the ball as much because that might lead to bad things.
Yeah.
But I look at it, it seems like his formula, as much as people want to complain about it, it's starting to prove itself.
Here's my beef with the complaints about the system. And I understand the argument that I'm about to argue against. Okay. I get it. You know, you do need to have a 250-250 balance. You need to strive for that. Everybody does, right? Okay. Today was ugly, according to a lot of people, according to the two Illini guys that you had on before me. I get it. Fine. I get it. Was it more or less ugly than watching them throw 14 straight incompletions against Wisconsin? Like, I think it was less ugly than that.
Yes.
Personally, because I think being effective in what you're doing is more aesthetically pleasing than not gaining any yards on 14 straight plays. Like, I think when they know they get in a situation, like, first of all, this team is, what's really frustrating is that this team's not set up to like come back from behind. That we know, right? I mean, so getting an early lead against a team like Minnesota on the road, taking the entire crowd out of the ball game really early in your first two drives, making it 14-0, that's huge for this team. And then basically having it, what you do at that point is, yeah, we're going to run the football because I don't want Minnesota to have more possessions. Like, and so now you're basically, you know, you're playing neutral zone trap with your offense and your defense, because the idea that this isn't aesthetically pleasing is mystifying to me, in the sense that, yes, when you lose, there's a lot of complaints about this doesn't look entertaining to me. What they did against Wisconsin is not only not entertaining, but it's also, it should be more frustrating as hell for Illini fans, because why are these coaches putting these kids in positions to not succeed? That should have been but when we watch football as fans, we're like, oh, well, they're trying to throw and they're trying to entertain me, so I'm not going to kill them for it.
Right.
Okay. But that's not what Illinois does best right now. Right. That's not what they do best at quarterback. That's not what they do best at wide receiver. And quite frankly, on some occasions, it's not what they do best in terms of pass protection. So why are you wanting Illinois right now to do something that they don't do well? Like, from my standpoint, Mike, I don't mean to dumb down the argument, but it would be like Illinois fans wanting to see Kofi Coburn shoot threes, because that would look cool. And yeah, that might entertain me, but yeah, you'd lose and you'd also not score as many points because you'd be wasting possessions. Like, right. I get the argument. I understand it. I do think this team's going to be better in the throw game with better recruiting and better everything, you know, even with Tony Peterson, if he comes back for future years, I think they're going to be better in the throw game. But right now, I think they've got a guy who can get 5 yards a carry in Chase Brown, and a guy that's proved that he can get over 100 yards a game in Josh McCray when he's healthy, and he's still coming out of this flu thing. That's why he didn't get a lot of run today, by the way. But, you know, Illinois just won back-to-back road games against top 25 teams, doing exactly what Brett Bielema said he was going to do when he got hired. And so from that standpoint, again, I think that Illinois fans should be really excited about not only, A, you're going to wake up tomorrow with a team that's still potentially bowl eligible.
Yep.
I know that Iowa is going to be a huge hill to climb, and hell, Northwestern is going to be a huge hill to climb based off of this team being completely
unpredictable,
unpredictable for me and you and all God's children, like each week. But you're going to wake up with a 4-6 football team that can still win two games and get to a bowl game after everything that's happened. And, you know, that's pretty mystifying when you look at what Brett Bielema, I thought Brett Bielema had to work with when he started on August 1st. And he's, I don't want to say he's made chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, but in some instances, I think he has. And today he coached his way into a victory with a less talented roster, especially on offense. But what he won with was a team that was more physical and just, I mean, I haven't heard PJ's press conference, but he said it after they lost a similar game in this stadium to Bowling Green. They didn't deserve to win the football game today. And I'm sure he said it pretty much a very similar sentiment today of, we didn't deserve to win the football game because we didn't play as hard as the team that came in. And I think that getting that kind of effort and getting that kind of defensive execution is a major upgrade when you talk about, you know, the first, you know, what is this now, 9 games, 10 games of the Brett Bielema era. I mean, there have been significant step-by-step growth that you're seeing out of this football team. And that's why you're seeing them beat top 25 teams on the road. And that's why I think you're seeing them have one of the better defenses by the end of this year in the Big Ten. I don't think that's a stretch at all.
Yeah. And I think a lot of college coaches see what's going on, and they probably,
and personally, because I like stories, Mike, Brett Bielema is doing a hell of a lot of myth busting on this. Okay. You can't win with 14 points. Yeah, you can. Can't win when you don't throw it for, you know, over for triple digits. Yeah, you can. There's a lot of things that Brett Bielema was doing in 2021 that is perceived to be taboo. Gary Patterson just got fired because he wasn't entertaining, and he was a defensive centric head coach, and he didn't, you know, adapt to the modern college football. Brett Bielema is now beating Penn State and Minnesota on the road playing you know, your grandfather's Big Ten football in 2021. So there's a lot of myth busting going on with that big boy in Champaign. And I think that when they get a lot more talent, I think that this thing could get real scary when you talk about complementary football with the defense that's sticking around and the offensive upgrades that you could potentially see in the next couple of years.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And so we're going to kind of wrap this puppy up. And of course, what we could do, I guess, you know, the Kofi shooting threes is a great example. And you know, you and I could also finish this in song. And that would be something that people might find mildly entertaining, but wouldn't be very good at all. So we're not going to do that, but that would be an excellent example of how we could turn the podcast into like, this is a learning experience for everybody. So the last thing, I will correct one thing. I had said that Chase ended up with 153 yards. He actually ended up at 148. I apologize for that statistical issue. So, Matt, give us your wrap up here, and we will close this down after a nail biter, but a victory from the opening kick all the way to the final gun in the fourth quarter.
We're now 10 weeks into the 10 games into this season. And I have no earthly idea what I'm going to see in game 11 and game 12. And that's the first conclusion I draw with this Illinois football team. And that's kind of nice, because I think come November in the Lovie Smith administration, you kind of knew what you were going to see. And you don't know what you're going to see with Brett Bielema. And it's 18 to 23 year olds at the end of the day. But I will say this, I do think Illinois has an identity. I've said it after the Penn State game, I'll say it again. They have an identity. They run the football, and they absolutely physically beat the living bejesus out of you on the line of scrimmage on both the offensive and the defensive side of the ball. They are taking the mentality of their head coach to the football field and winning games against teams that they are, 14, 20-point underdogs going into the game at kickoff. So that says a lot about year one of Brett Bielema. And I think that Illinois fans should be excited about where this program is headed when you look at how this team is going to recruit and how this team is going to continue to take steps to get better, just like they did today. I heard Ked said it. They're probably going to be a 14-point dog at Iowa in 2 weeks coming out of a bye. But you know what? If you're an Illini fan, you get to do for like a week and a half. You get to sit on this one for a while. You get to watch Blake Hayes row the boat and then break the damn oar over his knee for like a week and a half. And I mean, I don't know if Illini fans have like still thought about football in November for a long, long time. And you get to still think about Brett Bielema and football and the possibility of finishing 6-6 and going to a bowl game in November, which, short of the miraculous 2019 season of Lovie Smith, that hasn't happened around here in quite a while.
Yep. Well, thanks for that coverage, Matt. We are now going to do a couple pieces of typical work that we'd like you to listen to. First off, IlliniGuys.com. That's the number one spot for following the Illini, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago. Whether you live halfway across the country or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know on everything Illini. Additionally, we would love to have you give us a 5-star rating. If you could do that, that would be fantastic for our podcast. It helps us out quite a bit. And finally, go to IlliniGuys.com, drop down, hit the radio tab, and that tab will show you where you can listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. It is a weekly 2-hour sports extravaganza radio show that you can hear across the state of Illinois on 25 different stations. And you can see what stations carry it and what time they play it. And you can tune in. And if you enjoy it, call that radio station up and let them know that, hey, keep my Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on the air because I enjoy it. If you can't listen to it live, you can also check out the podcast that we release at noon on Saturday once the show has been broadcast across the state. And with that, I will thank you very much for all the time you've spent with us. It was a very exciting victory today. And we are very much hoping that in 2 weeks, we can have the Illini pull off the unprecedented 3 road victories over top 20 teams. That would be fantastic. So with that, I'm Mike Kegley. Thank you for listening to us. And ILL, INI, out to everybody. Thanks.